Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
And thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Dr. G, you on the line, sir?
We are.
Amen. Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get together one more time. We always laugh on Thursdays. The enemy always tries to throw something at us. And we always had to realize and say, well, it's Thursday. So we come to expect those challenges that come on Thursday. But we thank God that He allowed us to get together on tonight. And we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah,
G, we are back in the book of Acts, and last week we were talking about how it was important to be able to rely on the Holy Spirit and how important it was for us to get together and to make sure that we assembled together to encourage each other through difficult days and difficult times. God said that for a reason, because He knew there would be difficult days and difficult times ahead, whether it be physically or spiritually or whatever. But to realize that once we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit would be with us and be in us, and we will be able to, in spite of our situation, circumstances, and challenges, continue to be witnesses for God. And so that brings us to where we left off, and that was Acts, the first chapter, verse 4. And it goes on to tell us about water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism, and what one did and led up to what the other one did. So it was like a progression of God's plan to go from the point where they were only baptized with water to being not only baptized with water, but being also baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, it would give them power, or give us power, to be able to carry out his purpose and his plan. Not just as individuals, but as a body of Christ of individuals. And in that instruction, he went on to say, I'm looking at verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In verse 6 it says, when he therefore would come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And so what I want to do is I want to work back from this verse that they were still thinking that God had come and he was going to overthrow the Roman government in quick, fast, in a hurry, and that they would be back in charge and everything would be perfect, hunky-dory. And they didn't understand that God sent his son the first time, or this time, to work on people's hearts. Because if he came back and overthrew the Roman government and, you know, put them back in power, they would screw up again because their heart weren't right. And so that was the whole thing, was his coming the first time is to get the people's hearts right, so they can be an example of people to the people that didn't know God, that they can be an example to those people that didn't know God of how people behave when they have a relationship with God. And so they're just as heathen as the heathen without the presence of God in their life. And
amen.
We see that today, that it doesn't matter, you know, where you from, what continent, what country, what political, religious, rich, poor, whatever. If you don't have a relationship with God, you act like a heathen, and your only thing is you'll try to say that my heathenness is not as bad as your heathenness, but at the end of the day, you're still a heathen. And you know, so many words of God, Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
And so they were worried about God restoring the kingdom of Israel and getting back in power, but they weren't listening to what God said. God said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And not worried, told them not to worry about when he's going to restore the kingdom. And that brings us down to verse 7. He said unto me, it is not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father has put in his own power. In other words, he said, don't worry about my business. And a lot of times when situations and circumstances happen, we try to worry about God's business instead of worrying about what God wants us to do. And,
amen.
And we have to learn to stay out of God's business and do what he asks us to do.
Hello.
And when we stay out of his business and do what he asks us to do, then we can carry out his plan. But they still hadn't got it. And as we work back to this, we'll see how it's necessary for us to have the Holy Ghost to be able to carry out his plan. And when in the Old Testament, when people were carried out, so God rested upon them, where in the New Testament, he's going to be in them. And that would give them that power to be able to carry out his plan. So John the Baptist, go back to verse 5, John the Baptist baptized with water. It was a baptism that showed that they were repentant, and that it was a cleansing and a change of heart and change of mind. And Jesus said that he would pray the Father, that he would send them another comforter. And this was the Holy Spirit. In the second part of that verse 5, it says, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so the progression was just being baptized with water. And then as you move toward the ministry of Jesus, you saw that when he was baptized, he came out of the water and the Holy Ghost descended on him. So this was just a continuation or furtherance of his plan, of his example, that once he was baptized with water, came out of the water, and then once he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so God is saying, this is what's happening with the church, is that there has to be a repentance, a change of heart. And once that repentance is a change of heart, of recognizing that you sinned against God, and you ask God for forgiveness, and immediately you want to make an outward appearance of what's going on with your heart, and that's to be baptized with water. And the Holy Spirit comes in and seals you and empowers you to carry out the will of God. So I don't want to get into the weeds or get too technical with that. I just want to make sure everyone is on the same page about water baptism and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost is baptizing us into the body of Christ. So, Dr. G, I just want to touch base with you, make sure I'm tracking all right with that. Dr. G.
Yeah, okay.
Amen. And Sheila G., when a lot of times when people are baptized, we have to explain to them that there's no power in the water.
Mm-hmm.
and a lot of times, though, it's just the same old D.C. water, Maryland water, Virginia water. But what it is it's symbolizing that you have a change in heart, and that you're being buried. You're being buried with Christ,
right?
In that watery grave, you're standing up, you're being crucified with him, you're being buried with him, and then you're being resurrected with him. So it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, because we're in Christ because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. So what God sees, he sees us dying with Christ, he sees us being buried with Christ, and he sees us being resurrected with Christ. But Christ is the one that actually died, was buried, and resurrected. But once we are in Christ, being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, now we're not seen in our righteousness, but we're seen in the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So this gives us the seal. This gives us the power to be able to carry out the will of God. Sheila G.?
Amen. And that's one thing. That's why a lot of times when we do the baptism, I know the pastors will say that if the change hasn't taken place in your heart, you know, the Holy Spirit come within you and you've accepted Christ and accept, you know, confess with your mouth that you believe that he died and was buried and rose again for our sins, then you going in that water, you're just going to go in a wet devil and come back a wet devil. But change has come in your heart first. With that true resurrection in your heart and your trusting and allowing the Holy Spirit to be within you before you get in that water to be baptized, because the baptism is just simply a symbolism.
And so once we have that understanding of baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as it says in verse 5, what God wants us to do, we talked a little bit about this, is to be transformed into his image, and that's a process. It's a lifelong process that takes us to be transformed into his image, to be back to where he wants us to be, and to get us to surrender our will over to his will, and not to be concerned about the things of this world. And that's when Romans 12 says, "Be transformed, and not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so in that verse 6, he said, you know, they're asking about, you know, when we gonna get back in power, when we gonna take over, when we gonna be back in charge, when we gonna show these Romans you know, who's in charge. And God is breaking them down and saying, you know, that's not for you to know the times or the season. I just need you to be obedient and do what I ask you to do. And when you do that, then everything work out in its season. And I think a lot of times what happens is in Christianity, people are not prepared for the season because they're not in tune with God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God will let you know you need to bring an umbrella, you need to bring some boots, you need to bring, he'll tell you everything you need to equip you so you're prepared in all seasons. And you know, that's what he was saying in that Roman where he says that you can prove what his perfect will is by being transformed. So no matter what the season is, you're prepared. And God is the one that controls the season. A lot of times we, as individuals, we'll try to control the season and say, I want it to be sunny all day. I don't want any rain. I don't want it to snow. I don't want it to do this. But God controls the seasons. And he said, don't you worry about the season. I got this. You keep doing what I'm saying. And whatever the season is, you'll be prepared. But what happens is a lot of times in churches, people will come and go in church. Their membership will wane off or even stop, because they're not prepared for the challenges of the season. Yeah. And a lot of times it'll rain and they'll get mad because they don't have an umbrella, and they'll run off, or get cold and they'll get mad because they're not prepared for the cold and they'll run off. But we have to treat seasons just like we treat the seasons where we live. And this is so vitally important is, if you live in Forestville, Maryland, and you know that the wintertime is going to be this way, it's going to be this way, just because it snows and it gets cold, that doesn't mean you move to Florida. That means you put your socks on, you put your hat on, you put your gloves on, and you deal with the season. But you just don't know how to deal with the seasons because they don't understand and they don't get into the Word of God that lets you know how to deal with the season. And so they run and run and hop from this church to this church to this not being a ministry, to this not going to Bedside Baptist, to this not going, to not even being involved, because they never want the season to have inclement weather. Right. And they go running from season to season to season to season. And God said, no, I need you to go through this winter. Because if you don't go through this winter, you're not going to be able to act right in the spring. If you can get right and tough it out in the winter, when the springtime comes, then I can elevate you, then I can promote you, then I can bring to you where you need to be. But if you're going to keep running in the wintertime, you'll never get to spring. And so God says, let me handle the season, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Holy Spirit work in you, transform you. Then what happens is you can be content in the season of winter. You can be blessed in the season of spring. You can enjoy the summer. You can deal with the heat. You can suffer through the fall. And you can deal with all of those seasons if you allow the Holy Spirit to have His will, God's will, in your life, and stop trying to dictate the seasons or run off, you know, when seasons are, nobody likes the rain, but you got to deal with the rain and understand the rain is going to help stuff grow later on in the year. And once you understand those things, then you can understand that you need to be a witness in all season. And so this is what Jesus said in that verse 7 and verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is where he wants you to get. But you got to understand this baptizer. You got to understand this Holy Spirit. You got to understand it's in God's will and God's time that these seasons come. And then once you understand God's will and God's time and God's seasons, then you're equipped to be able to carry out what God wants you to do, weary and running off and quitting and giving up and blaming everybody else and being just so angry and disagreeable and frustrated in ministry because you're not understanding what God wants you to do. God wants you to focus on His will. And when you focus on His will, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But we have to understand this basic. That's why we take so long to go over these chapters and these verses in Bible study, is because you got to get an understanding. You just can't fly through it. But when you have an understanding, then you can begin to start being transformed, and you can begin to start understanding how God would have you to operate and be able to stand up in these seasons. bring your umbrella, bring your boots, bring your sunglasses, bring your coat, bring your, you know, your fan or whatever. So no matter what the season is, you know, that if God brings it, he's able to bring you through. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, when you were reading the scripture about when the Lord was telling him not to concentrate on the seasons, not to worry about the seasons, and I think that's where we fall short as Christians, because God wants us to focus on our relationship with him. And if we focus and primarily on our relationship with him, with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what season it's in. We're always ready. We'll always have on that whole armor of God because we have that relationship with him. But too often, we're trying to predict what the season is. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to focus on, okay, things are going well right now, but when's the next time something's going to happen? When all we should focus on is that relationship with that Holy Spirit within us. And that way, if we focus on that relationship, the Lord will let us know what we need to be prepared for. We'll be prepared for that. We'll be prepared for when things unexpected happen. And the other thing that you were talking about is how we focus on that relationship with him, we will endure in our ministry. You know, too often, leaders all the time with leaders of the church, they're so focused on who's not there. And the focus on who's there, because the ones that need to be fed are those are the ones that have a desire to draw closer to the Lord. And if you're so focused on the people that aren't there, the people that are there being left out, and they're the ones that are trying to develop that relationship. They're the ones that said, you know what, I want to be closer to the Lord. You know what, I need a teaching. I have a yearning to learn more and more about to learn more and more about the Lord, develop that relationship so I don't have to worry about the season, that I will always be ready. And I think we do we in ministry do a disservice when we're more focused on those that for whatever reason didn't show up versus focusing on meeting the ones that are there so that they can go out as sheep and beget other sheep, because you can't anybody except Christ. You can't make anybody have the desire of the Lord, but you plant that seed, and then sometimes they hear it from somebody else. That's what draws them. So that's what we in ministry have to focus on, our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Don't worry about the seasons, because God has got that.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, as you all were talking, I think it goes back to the fact that at the initial time that we accept Christ, you know, too often we come out of our emotions and we accept him through the emotions, but we never allow the Holy Spirit to come in, because, you know, we get an emotional high, we go through the baptism, but after we come out of water, you know, we go right on back down that same path again, and the Holy Spirit never gets a chance to work within our lives. We've got to actually want that change to take place. And that's why, you know, we try to share with folk that, as Sheila was saying, you go down a dry devil, but you come up a wet devil. And when, you know, you come out of the water, yeah, you're smiling, you're wet, you all that, you feel good. But I tell folks, that is when you have got to be on guard, because the enemy knows that at that point you are more susceptible to what his attacks are going to be. And in order to get to the point where Sheila was saying, where you know, you're focusing on your relationship, you've got to allow the Spirit to move within your heart, where you are transformed by the Holy Spirit to begin focusing on him. But you got to help it out. You got to go in prayer. You got to stay in prayer. You got to get into the Word. But too often we fall right on back into that same old path of what we were doing, so that the Holy Spirit never gets a chance to work. But then when the Lord starts sending the different seasons and we're not prepared for them, then he has to get our attention. And then once we start going through some things, then that is when we begin to hear what the Lord is saying.
Yeah.
Amen. And what I found out, Sheila G, Dr. G, is everybody's season, amen, can be different at the same time. In other words, God knows the seasons. In other words, He knows what we need to go through to be able to transform us, to be able to mature us, to get to where we need to be. And so a lot of times people will stay in winter or deep, dark summer, deep, dark winter or scorching summers because stiff neck. And the Bible uses that term in the Old Testament, stiff neck. And stiff neck is a person, when God explains, is that a person won't bow down to God's will. And I always used to laugh when my wife would put our kids down into bed in the crib, and she would pat them on the back and sing to them, and they'd be so sleepy. But as soon as she stopped patting and tried to walk out, they pop back up. And they're looking around trying to smell her, and you're trying to put them back down, and they arch their back because they don't want to go down. You know they need sleep, and they need sleep, but they won't go to sleep because sleep is the best thing for them. But they'll pop back up, and they'll stiff neck. They won't bow down. And it's like all you got to do is lay down. You'll feel better, go to sleep, get your rest, and you won't be fussing.
Right.
Just go to sleep. But they'll pop back up, and you try to put them down, and their head will pop back up, and they'll cry and fight and fight and fight until finally they get tired of fighting. And then they lay down in the crib, and then they sleep so peacefully when all they had to do was 10 minutes ago was lay their head down and go to sleep. But we as Christians, we get stiff-necked because we won't bow down, and so we have to go through that crying season of summer or crying season of winter because we are not learning what God is telling us to do in those seasons. So He'll keep you in those seasons until you learn how to deal with it and do what He wants you to do in those seasons, Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the thing. And sometimes we'll get comfortable in that season. I listened to a message this morning about the lame person that always sat in front of the church and had never walked and couldn't walk and was at begging. He's a beggar. That they didn't have any silver and gold, they had none. But then they told him to rise up and walk.
Right.
And then when he rose up and walked, but he had just gotten so comfortable just sitting in that season of being a beggar because from the day he was born, he couldn't walk.
Yeah.
When he stepped out on faith, it's not like they gave him money. It's not like they, poured him a whole bottle of oil on. They just basically said, rise up. And he walked. But that's what happens sometimes when we're in these seasons is we're just so comfortable with being miserable until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then you get up, then you raise up your faith. Then you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and take this one step. I'm going to trust in you that you're going to help me to get out of this. But it's like you said, it's like that baby where, I'm just comfortable being miserable, so I'm just going to stay comfortable being miserable. When they God's hand is right there. So a lot of the seasons, we can get right out of it. If we want to. But we don't want to make that step, that effort, that step, that commitment. Because in order to get out of it, it's not a type of thing where you say, I'm out the season, but I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's something going on within you that's keeping you in that season that you got to take the step and you got to let it go,
whether it's
people that you're around, the situations that you're in. A job or people that you're hanging around with, you got to let go of that in order to move into that next season. Or you could just stay miserable and misery loves company. But either way, you got to trust the Lord first to make that step to get out of that season.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on it?
Well, with what Sheila was saying, and then while we're in those situations, we want to complain. We want to moan. We want to groan. We want to get mad at God. We talk about, we pray, but the Lord is not answering our prayer when we want Him to or as fast as we want him to. So we do get comfortable. And a lot of times the Lord will let us stay in that season. We understand you got to let go and let me have it. Because, you know, you hit on it earlier. You know, we want to tell God when we're ready to move. And it doesn't work like that. You know, God says, my ways are not like your ways.
Right.
So we have to allow the Lord to move, put us in situations without going through all of the motions. Yeah, we don't like it, but God knows that.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I don't think anybody likes to be outside on a 100-degree day with 100% humidity. And sweating and suffering, but God, he allows this for you to appreciate the cool days.
And so
what God does is he allows us to go through things so we can appreciate him. And you know, Satan takes advantage of that. He'll be a distraction, and throw stuff to distract us. To get us to a point where we will appreciate God and turn to God instead of turning to this world and to man. And I just believe that God allows Satan to create distractions so that we can realize that this is not where we need to be and that we need to trust God more, and then God would deliver us. And that's the whole pattern through the whole history of man, the whole history of the Bible, is that it's about getting God's people to get back into the proper relationship with him. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was to carry out the will of the Father so that his righteousness would prevail, the righteousness of God. That's why he was baptized. That's why the Holy Spirit was descended on him. That's why he fasted for 40 days and went out to be tested of the devil, so that would prepare him for ministry. And as soon as he came out, you know, double challenged him, and he overcame it with the word of God. And he proved himself to be worthy to carry out the ministry or the will of God. But we as Christians, we think, sometimes people think there's nothing supposed to happen. You're never supposed to get challenged. There's never supposed to be below or above 70 degrees in perfect weather. But God allows these things to happen so that we can realize who he is, get back into the relationship with him, and then be able to share that with someone else. And it's a real simple plan, a real simple ministry, but we get so distracted by Satan. It's like so many people are distracted by our president and all the things that swirl around them. God's allowing that so that people can feel the discomfort so they can turn to God. But he's not gonna be totally out of the picture until God says so. When God finishes with him,
that's right.
God's finished, he'll be done. He'll be done. And he's just this irritant that the enemy's using right now to get people to realize, you know, that they need God and they should, you know, turn to God and start treating each other in a godly way. And he had to bring this to an extreme to get the people to realize that, you know, In the DNA of the country of America, they don't like brown skinned folk.
Right.
That has been the history of them. Uh-huh. They like brown skinned folk to do work and stuff to, you know, for them to build their buildings and all this stuff, but they don't want them on equal footing. And so God allows this anomaly to come along. That Satan would use to get people to say, hey, this is not right. We need to get out of this season, turn back to God, and do what God wants us to do. And you know, it's just a distraction that the enemy is using and God is using to get us to turn back to him, to participate in the process of treating each other, loving each other, and doing the things God wants us to do. But don't get so caught up into what this guy's doing. He's only going to do as much as God's going to allow him to do, and after that he'll be another story in the history books of presidents. And you know, we just need to make sure that we're continuing to turn to God, not be stiff necked, follow the Holy Spirit, pray, and watch God have his way. And when we do that, what happens is, again, we'll appreciate the season and we'll appreciate God for bringing us through. But we're learning something right now from what we're going through with this political season. You know, bombs here and threats here, and you know, all this racist stuff here. You know, people learn that, and what happens is it brings out the ugly.
And
people can say, hey, this is so ugly that this is not of God. We need to change this. We need to do something different. God is not like that, and he exposes all that stuff so people can make a change and trust him more than trusting in man. Sheila G.
Amen. And you're so right about that, how that whole exposure thing, because it's one of those things where, you know, a couple of years ago you thought that somebody running off with their mouth spewing hatred was nothing, and that it was just like, whatever, just go ahead, run your mouth. But now it festered, and it was like this sore that just festered and brought out all the ugliness. So God has exposed festering thing that we've known about, but it's just been underlying on the underbelly. And God is allowed to come up between the electronics, or just the fact that you have this symbol of evil and hate in such a high power that is starting to bring out where people were kind of keeping it in their living rooms or back behind the woods. It's coming out full blown now. And God is just, and they're not even realizing that God is allowing all this stuff to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, is rejuvenating the good in people.
Amen.
You know, it was like the Lord was saying, y'all are too nonchalant.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are too laid back. You just got way too comfortable. You're like, well, I don't care what people think. As long as I got mine, I don't care.
Right.
And so God's like, okay, let me stir up the pot. Let me see what it is when you stop caring about and loving thy neighbor. I told you to take care of your neighbor. I told you to love them as you love yourself. But you're loving yourself. So now I'm going to let you see what it looks like when neighbors aren't loving each other, when people aren't getting along, and letting you go back and take a peek back to World War II, World War I, where you had Hitler and the Civil War, and where he was this charismatic person that said that everybody had to be blue-eyed and blonde hair, and he was just the opposite. He was convincing them to kill those that weren't of that nature. And it's almost you're seeing this type of history coming again, and God had to expose that hate for what it was to get the nations to come together. And he's doing it with us now. Getting in, it's like, okay, since y'all just acting like it's not happening, now I'm putting it front and center on your screens, right in your face. What are you going to do about it?
And it's through the history of mankind. I mean, you see how God allows his people to go through these type of sufferings. You go back to where the Jews went through this Babylonian captivity. He allowed the enemies of God to overthrow them, to get them to turn back to God, because they went about their own way. They forgot about God. And when nations forget about God and turn to their own way, even when you know, Moses was going to get the Ten Commandments, and people got tired of waiting on Moses with the Ten Commandments. They started, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to make their own God. Build a golden calf and party and have a good time. You know, there is no God. We're going to make us a God and bow down to the God that we made. Now, how much sense does that make? But you know, that's in the DNA of sinful man, and we're seeing this, you know, in every generation, that if people don't turn to God, you know, they'll be left to their own vices, and their own vices will bring them down, and God will judge them, and as you know, often as we say it, so the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
And you know, when you continue to oppress people and continue to cheat people, continue to put people in slavery and disenfranchise people, you know, these things will come home to roost, and one of the biggest things that in the United States that gets people to come around is money, and they love that stock market.
Yeah.
And if that stock market and that money goes south, then they're ready to turn back to God. I remember when they elected the first brown man to be a president. It was shortly after the great recession, where all of their money went bust, and
yep.
people were losing $20,000 in their 401ks every month, and
jumping out of windows.
It was jumping out of windows. It was terrible. So, and they
yep.
said, "Well, we need to turn back to God, and we'll even elect a brown skin guy
mm-hmm.
to
yep.
bring us out."
Amen.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2016 after the. Everybody turned to God, and the brown fellow was no longer in office. They started that deregulation again, and
yep.
started cheating, scheming again, and here we are again, Dr. D.
Yep, making a mess.
Well, you know, you're right, and what you and Sheila both have said, you know, there's nothing new under
the sun.
It's the same old thing over and over again. And you would think that mankind would come to grips with this thing that as long as they turn their back on God, you know, as we said, the Lord will allow it for a season
mm-hmm.
to attention. And this country is no different. You know, they put the person that they wanted in because he sounded great. That he was saying the things that they wanted to hear.
Everybody else was sitting at home.
Right. And so they put him in, and the stuff that he's done, and you see how the senators, the congressmen were
mm-hmm.
all in. But now, they're scared, and they're jumping sides and joining in. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. But, you know, I look at
mm-hmm.
all this, and what we have to understand that as Christians, rather than worry and get
yep.
depressed about it, you know, we got to do what we need to do. Pray and get back in that word. But, you know, we're allowing the enemy to take our focus off of what we should be doing.
Amen.
Yeah, it's like you said, nothing new under the sun. It's like you turn against God and you look over there and see what everybody else is doing, and you want that kind of power and that kind of money, and you want to do what
mm-hmm.
this country's doing and do what that country's doing, and you know, you look at the inscription on the money, it says in God we trust.
That's awesome.
But you look at the Bible, and the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right. That's right.
So you gotta love God, and
mm-hmm.
and He'll take care of you. But when we turn away from God, turn away from His Word, stop loving each other, and God said clearly, He said that men would know that we are His disciples or His followers or His people. If we have love one for another. And, you know, that is what covers the multitude of sin is love. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can you say that you love God who you haven't seen and hate your brother that you see every day? And these words, they're not new. They're the same words that have been in the Bible ever since the Bible has been written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people have to go through seasons of hardship and struggle before they turned back to God. It was amazing when God's people came out of Babylonian captivity. I think with Nehemiah and those prophets during that day, they said, we need to go back to the Word.
That's right.
They had gotten so far from the Word. They had gotten so far. And then when someone found the Word, check that out, Dr. G. Shulidi, someone found the Word. And began to start speaking to them the word of God, and they realized how far they had strayed.
Yeah.
And they stood up and they just listened to the word all day long because it was something that they had missed. But that's a tactic of the enemy, is to separate you from the word, separate
right.
you from your connection to God, to get you out there acting like a fool,
uh-huh.
separated from God. And all you have to do is just look up and find that word, get back into that word, and God will show Himself, and He'll renew you, He'll replenish you, He'll refresh you, He'll clean you up, He'll renew the right spirit within you. But as long as you're trying to be conformed to that world, you'll prosper for a little while. You might look good for a little while, but in the end, you'll be deceived and you'll end up looking like a fool because you turned away from God.
That's right.
G-O-G.
Amen. And that's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to reign within us so that we can be united, because that's what Satan wants to do, is to divide. And that's what's happening in our country right now, is he's successfully sifting us, like we, because, like you said, we as a country have pulled away from God. You know, it's no longer is it automatic to go to church on Sunday.
Nope.
It's like, you know, everybody would do what you feel, kind of like was in the 70s. But now we're seeing the results of that, because decency is no longer there, because we have not instilled it within our children as something, as a part of what we do as far as growing up. It's kind of like everybody self and do what you want to, how you feel, versus, okay, at least on this Sunday, we're going to get a little bit of word
in us.
That's right. And then it could spread from there. But we've gotten so far from that that it allowed the enemy to come into this nation and cause this evilness and this dissension amongst us. And until we get back to that, it's just going to continue to be divided.
Amen. Dr. G, before we go to the phone call, you want to add to that?
Yeah, because, you know, what Sheila hit on, you know, you're right. Because, I mean, I remember, and I knew I drew my parents to Christ. But once I did, it was a thing where automatically you knew on Sunday you get your butt up, you go to church. No football games, no nothing else until you go to church. Now, whether or not you were totally involved, but at least you were given that foundation.
Right.
But nowadays, you know, these parents, you know, we're giving the kids a choice. You know, it's not, as Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me
and my
house, we going to serve the Lord. No, it's, well, if you don't feel like going, fine, you stay here, but I'm going. That's the wrong mindset. And until we get back to where we were, we're not going to be right with the Lord. And basically what it is, you know, we're disconnected from the power source.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. We want to get some folks to chime in on what we're talking about tonight. And just want to ask the question about our will versus God's will, and just the experience of people trying it God's way and trying it their way. How did that work out for you? You know, that's what we ask the country, you know, that we live in, the world that we live in. You know, try it God's way or try it the world's way, and if you tried it the world's way, how did that work out for you? So I'm just asking the question, you know, how did that work out for you? Trying it God's way or trying it your way. What did you find to be the difference? We can go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good morning.
It's an interesting question because from time to time, I don't catch it maybe as I'm doing it, but from time to time, I do catch myself after the fact trying it my way, and it gets you nowhere. And I think ultimately for myself, that's where I ended up realizing that, you know, I've seen the results of me trying it my way versus trying the Lord. There were times where I thought I was trying it God's way, but because I didn't know the word, I assumed that that's what I was doing was God's way, and it actually wasn't. So making up your mind to try God's way is one thing, but knowing how to do it God's way, knowing where to go, knowing how to do it is a total never, people don't do it. Goes beyond just making the decision to say, okay, well, I'm going to try God's way. But if you're not embedded in that word, if you don't know, if you don't have, you know, the word of God and people teaching you when you're learning and you're studying God's word, you don't even know where to begin, how to start God's way. And that's ultimately what I had to learn how to do. I had to, before I could jump out there and try it anyway, I had to learn. I had to sit my tail down. I had to learn. I had to be serious. And I had some bumps and bruises. I had some trials and errors. I had some things that I had to go through before I kind of got my groove and I kind of found the right way to say, you know what, this is how I'm going to put it in God's hand. This is how I'm going to do it and continue to grow. Because, you know, every trial, every tribulation requires a different you, requires a different set of circumstances, requires a different mindset that you have to be in. So there's so many answers that we find in the Bible. There's so many answers and things that God gives us and tools that he gives us, but each scenario would require a different tool. It may require a different scripture, may require a different word of prayer or a different mindset that you have to be in. So to know, okay, if I'm in this situation, what tools am I going to utilize that God has given me to help handle that situation outside of just trying it Brandon's way or trying it a way that my best friend said, well, you know, God, you need to try it this way. But all of that I learned through trial and error, but I had to most importantly realize trying it God's way is the only way. But knowing the word of God to say, okay, what is God's way? How would God do it? How would God want me to do it? Do I need to meditate in prayer? Do I need to talk about it some a bit on Bible study? Do I need to talk about it somewhat on prayer service? Do I need to go pull pastor and first lady in the study and say, hey, I'm kind of struggling with these things, and here's what I tried, or here's what I think the Bible has guided me to, but tell me, what do you think? Tell me what you do. You know, you have to utilize your resources, because they're only as good as the frequency that you use them in. But I've had to have my ups and downs to actually go through those things to realize that Brandon's way is the incorrect way, and the only way that I need to be able to go is God's way. But it is a journey. It's something that I'm not gonna. It's something that I'm not gonna get overnight, over a month's time. It's a lifelong lesson, and it's a lifelong journey that I have committed on. Every single time God allows me to get up out of my bed, I know I'm going on a journey. I know I'm going to get tested. I know I'm going to be at crossroads just throughout the course of the day of making decisions of what to do, right versus wrong, good versus evil, you know, and all of that is a part of the process. But until I take myself out of the equation, that's when I really started to progress in my Christian walk. And yes, I struggled. I made some mistakes. I didn't even know that I was trying in my way until I hit a brick wall and was like, yep, you know, dust myself off, pick myself back up again, find a word or a scripture and say, okay, we don't want to find ourselves here again, so let's figure out how we can correct the mistake, learn from it, and we continue to progress and move forward. And that's all God wants. I think sometimes as Christians we get discouraged to think that we got to be perfect. We got to get it right. We got to be out here doing all of these things. But God just wants to see the effort. Granted, he doesn't like to see mistakes, especially repeated mistakes, and says, okay, well, that was a curveball. You kind of struggled with it, but, you know, you got it. You'll be all right the next time. But he understands that we are in this flesh and we can only do but so much. But there's no reason to not try. I know early on I was like, man, I'm not getting into heaven. I'm like, it's tough just dealing with my own thoughts, let alone I got to go out here and live life and deal with people and deal with all this other stuff. And it's just like, and then of course, the older you get, the more you realize the responsibilities you have and how stressful life can be when you start paying bills and dealing with supervisors, you're having kids, you have a spouse, you're in a relationship, all these other dynamics come in, which should be even more of a reason that we should get closer to God so that we know the steps and the path that God will want us to take, whether things are going great or whether we're going through some adversity. But for myself, it was through trial and error, and then to the point where I said, you know what, I'm going to try God's way, but in order for me to try God's way, I got to know God's way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Next caller is last four digits. 3343, you're on
there. Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I just kind of come a long way, but I ignored God, and then I was a grown boy, and he came by me, and you got to listen to him. When he tried to tell you something, you just get hard-headed. You just don't listen, all right? So he stepped aside you and let you go on about yourself. And when he step back into you and give you another second chance, he say, this is God's way. Now you do it my way. And he gave me the chance to get on back inside and talk to you every Thursday. So I'm here and I know what God came to me.
Amen.
And I learned my lesson. He gave me a chance to stay on the right track, and that's where I'm at right today, listening at you on the phone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7639. You on there?
Good evening, everyone. From my experiences, in life, I can answer that question right now. You got to do it God's way, because our way is not going to work. It might look good for a while, but ultimately in the end, it doesn't work. I can recall my experiences as a young man growing up. A lot of things, you know, I said, how in the world could I have done that and knew better, was taught better, but, you know, I'm like, I'm a grown man now, I can do what I want. And, yeah, a lot of us think that way. I'm a man now, ain't nothing, yeah. Nobody can tell me, including my own parents. And, you know, you get out here and you start doing things your way, you struggle. Like I said, it may work for a while, but ultimately in the end, it doesn't work at all. And this is why I came to the Lord in the first place, because I got tired of going through what I was going through.
Amen. Amen.
And in order for me to have had the Holy Spirit in me, after a while, it started clicking. Hey, you got to get into your word. It's the key is right there. It's right there in the word. All you got to do is pick it up, ask God to guide you, study the word, meditate on the word, and most of all, do what that word tells you to do. You know,
amen.
When you don't do what God has told you what to do, and you know He's told you what not to do, then, you know, you suffer the consequences. You know, ain't no little children out here as far as we're concerned. There are some little kids out here, but we're not little. We're big enough, and you know, we've been on this Christian journey for a while. We all should know better, you know. But some of us still got it my way, you know. And our own way is not the right way, you know, and God's going to let us do what we want to do, and then He's going to get our attention. And trust me, you ain't going to like when He gets your attention, you know. You really ain't going to like it, you know. You'll be down on your knees praying and begging God to forgive you and doing this and doing that, but why does it always have to come down to, you know, it's just like our parents telling us to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get away with it once, you get away with it twice. You ain't getting away with it a third time. And when I was coming up, my stepfather, most of the time I didn't get away with it once. Some of the time I got away with something as I got older, but no, he didn't play around, and God don't play around with us. He's loving, but don't mistake God for a dummy. Don't mistake God, you know, don't take His kindness for a weakness. He loves all of us, even those of us that don't serve Him. You have to serve Him, and He's going to punish you in this lifetime. Now, if you still don't want to listen, you still want to do your own thing, you still don't want to help people out and help the poor out and be honest with people and not lie to people, guess what? You're not going to like Judgment Day, you know. And all of us that know about God and know a little something about God, no, He's going to open up the gates of hell, and guess who's going to drop in it? That's why do what you can do in this lifetime so you can make it to the next lifetime with God. You know, we're going to have somewhere to live. We all going to have somewhere to live eternally. Guess what? I ain't going to the smoking section. I'm staying in the non-smoking section. You know, do what God tells us to do. And, you know, we're going to have some problems. Because everybody doesn't know God. Everybody isn't right with God. Everybody doesn't want to know God. And because of the sin, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we are going to sin. Whether it's by habit or whether it's by non-habit or accident, you know, somebody's going to do something to you or say something to you, and the old person going to come out in you, you ain't going to think about it while you're saying it. You think about it after everything calmed down and you done gone home. Getting to your word so you will know, and Satan is crafty. He's very tricky, you know. But the things we see coming, the things that we know coming, you know, we can stay out of certain things if we don't put our own selves and our own thoughts into this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see how this works. Well, guess what? It ain't going to work. Trust me. I'm 54 years old. I didn't get to be 54 years old by continuously being stupid. You know, you gotta listen to somebody. I prefer to listen to somebody that knows the word of God. They can help me out. They can help me with situations, help me stay out of trouble. And that's why I like to hang around God-fearing people. And there's a lot of them at the Heart of God, and there's a lot of them in New Birth Baptist Church, and there's a lot of them at other churches, you know. Get into the Word.
Amen.
Let the Word guide you. Let that Holy Spirit guide you. You ain't going to know how to react to the Holy Spirit or what the Holy Spirit wants you to do if you don't know how to get to the Holy Spirit. And the only way you're going to get to how to know the Holy Spirit is into your Bible. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last 4 digits is 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
One of the things that I realize that I have to do and I try to do now is pray and ask God's will to be done in my life and what He wants me to do, and to guide me according to His Holy Spirit, and let His Holy Spirit direct me. Many things I've tried doing myself and doing it in the flesh, it was messed up and I was messed up. But God is so merciful when we realize that we are messing things up and we go to Him with a repentant heart and ask for forgiveness. God will put us on the right pathway and show us which way to go. Sometimes we get real stubborn. I speak for myself. Sometimes I get a little stubborn or determined and might not want to go that way because it looked like it's right to me. But sometimes God let us go on. Because we know what we're doing. We think we're in charge. And let us go on and make a mess of things. And then we have to turn to Him. And but what I love about Him, He is merciful. But we do have to constantly ask Him every day. It's not just every now and then. But everything, every moment, every second. Because it only takes a split second, a split moment for us to get off track. Because we do live in these bodies, and temptation is always around us. And when we think that we got it made, we're the strongest, and we're in charge, that's when we are heading for a fall. So that's why we have to constantly ask God, keep me humble, keep me focused in your word, keep me on my knees, keep me praying, seeking you so that I can go in the right direction. And when we do fail, just remember that God has forgiven us. We have that grace, but He doesn't want us to keep doing it. You know, He wants us to grow up. He wants us, you know, to mature. And so through our growing process, and this is how we grow, it's through our growing process that we learn to trust God with everything. And as we grow closer to Him, as we grow more in the Word, we become more dependable on that word. We trust God more and what He say and what He can do for us. But He does love us. He wants the best for us. And I think that's the thing we have to realize, that God wants the best for us, and He wants us to give Him His best. So in order for us to give Him His best, we have to recognize Him as our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. We got one more caller on the line. We're going to go to 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm a true witness to tell you I've tried it my way and I've tried it God's way. I'm going to make it short, sweet, and brief. My way fails every time.
Nice.
Every time.
I know that's right.
I don't even want to reflect back on it. It's when you make it a practice in your walk with Jesus, trusting and believing and knowing that he's not going to guide you wrong, he's not going to lead you wrong, he's going to straighten this old flesh up and have you to do it the right way. And it becomes a part of your everyday life that you pray and lean and depend on God for everything. My way, I know for a fact, doesn't work. I don't even like to even concentrate on it.
I know that's right.
I know it's not going to work.
Amen. Amen.
It's not going to work. So that's my spiel for the night. Don't trust yourself because, you know, this old flesh will lead you wrong every time.
God bless you.
Yes, to lean and depend on the Lord for everything, and I guarantee you, you'll come out smelling like a rose with a smile on your face. Thank you all.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, Dr. G, that sends us back to that proverb, that old proverb, 3:5-6, to trust in the Lord. With all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. That's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come one more Thursday where we can study your word. God, we thank you for the power of your spirit that has taught us tonight. God, we pray for those that were on the line. We pray for those that are on the line and extended families and in the church families, God, that you will continue to let us understand, God, that we should trust you and lean not to our own understanding, and that in all our ways we would acknowledge you and that you would direct our path. God, we pray for our leadership of this world, country, and families, and all over this world, God, we pray that people would turn to you, God, and trust you in your way, and that we would love each other the way you have loved us. I mean, it's truly said in your word that you loved us. Well, God, that you so loved us that you gave your only son, and whoever believed in you would not perish but have everlasting life. So, God, continue to bless us that we would overcome evil with good, that we would cover love over everyone, God, that your will and your way will be done. And we ask these and all other blessings in the precious and almighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ in our spiritual souls. And amen, amen, and amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen. Good night.